And I would ask that you would stand for the reading of God's word. It will be in Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your member in God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no domain over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching, to which you were committed and have been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting in that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and it ends with eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. You may be seated. And I will call Steve.
Good morning. If you wouldn't mind, please join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for Paul's letter to the Romans and for what we'll be able to speak on today. I pray that the words you give would flow through me and that they would implant on the hearts and minds of all of us here today. Pray that you would bless us, Lord, and open our hearts and minds to your word. Pray this in your name. Amen. I am a sinner. That's probably not something you've ever heard somebody stand up at a pulpit and say before. But it's true. I'm a sinner. Saying that is the first step to understanding what Paul is trying to teach the Romans about the choices that they need to make. We constantly hear the saying that compromise is a necessary evil, or the art of politics is the compromise. Every day we hear what does it hurt if you just let this one slide? Why don't you just turn the other cheek? Don't worry about what I do to my body. Don't worry about what the schools are teaching your kids. We are living in a world that is actively working to try and suppress the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a world that is teaching a message that feelings are more important than facts. The fact of this life is that we are all sinners. We are born into sin because of original sin. Genesis 3, we see Eve tempted by a serpent, which is representing Satan. The serpent convinced Eve to eat of the fruit of the tree. Eve gave that fruit to Adam, who then chose to eat that fruit. God charged Adam with that original sin. See, sin condemns us. We can't fix that. As humans, we are sinful by our nature. When we're given the opportunity, we will almost always choose sin over salvation. God knew this from the start. He sent Jesus. Jesus brings us salvation. He brings us salvation through grace and mercy. We just need to reach out and accept it. 1 Corinthians 15 explains it this way. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ is given a new life. So this is where we're going to jump into today's sermon text. I'm going to paraphrase Romans 6, 12, and 13. Do not let sin control how you live. Stand up to sin and live for God, for you are alive again in Christ. How many of us commit the same sins every single day? How many of us sin without knowing that we're doing it? All of us sin out of habit each and every day. Common sins that we usually will overlook. Lust, gluttony, greed, laziness, anger, envy, and pride. These are all sins that may not hurt anyone other than ourselves, but they're still sins. Most people probably don't notice these sins unless we spend time reflecting on God's Word and asking God to reveal these sins to us. Thankfully, we serve a God who is gracious and merciful. We need to make a choice each and every day. We have the freedom to choose what or who we will obey. We live in a world that tells us to follow our hearts and to do what feels good. This is an invitation to sin. God calls us to live for Him and to live in the light. John 3:16 is arguably one of the most well-known verses from the Bible. I think if somebody cornered you in a store and asked, hey, what does John 3:16 say? Most of us in this room could probably recite it word for word. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. How many of us know the verses that come directly after that? I had to look them up myself. The verses that come after that give substance. I'm going to read these. God sent His Son into the world not to judge it but to save it. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him, but anyone who does not believe Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. The judgment is based on this fact. God's light, which is Jesus, came into the world. The people who loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear that their sins will be exposed. And those who do what is right come to the light so that others can see they are doing what God wants. Verse 19 clearly shows us people love the darkness over the light. They love evil over God. None of us want our friends or neighbors to know our sins. We go to great lengths to hide our sins. We keep hiding from God out of fear that our sins might become public knowledge. We live in a world that holds people to an impossible standard of perfection. Just look at anyone who runs for an elected office. Instead of running on their qualifications and their ideas, Politicians at every level work to dig up dirt on their opponents. They try to make their opponent look like a person who is unpalatable to the people. But these very same people trying to smear their opponent try to hide their own dirt from the public eye. They try to paint themselves as the better person. By doing this, they are running from the light. God is calling all of us to run into the light. We need to accept the fact that we are sinners. We need to repent. We need to show the world that we are living for God through our words and, more importantly, through our actions. There's some popular songs from the 70s and 80s out there that illustrate this in a way I don't think that they were intending to. But when you look at it, there's a song by AC/DC called Highway to Hell. Led Zeppelin has a song called Stairway to Heaven. And Bob Dylan has a song that's titled Gotta Serve Somebody. I don't think that they were ever intending that those songs would ever be used in some kind of sermon. But when you look at the titles, they speak true. There's a saying out there that the highway to hell is paved with good intentions. You can be a good person and not go to heaven. The stairway to heaven is narrow. We all have to choose who we will serve. And we have to make that choice every single day. The wonderful thing to know is that although that highway headed south is wide and it's paved and it's easy, the stairway heading north has a handrail. It guides us. It holds us. It nourishes us. That handrail is Jesus Christ. So as we walk that stairway to heaven in our earthly lives, serving God, we need to hold on to the truth that is Christ. We live in a world that is painted with the illusion of enlightenment. We are told that we need to bend to the new morals. We're told that by those who claim to be more aware. This form of compromise has been happening for generations. We have been allowing evil to move forward because we, as the body of Christ, are timid. We don't speak God's truth for fear that we will offend someone. We are more afraid of losing a friendship or being disowned by a family member so that we don't stand up for God's laws. The saying of give an inch, take a mile rings very true. We keep giving inches, evil keeps taking miles. Each generation has been allowing the light to be turned down over time. And every time we do this, darkness moves in. Each generation will only know the light that they were born into. Before long, the light will be extinguished. I'm going to read a transcript that I've heard numerous times over the years. It could be a little lengthy, but I think that it hits a point. And most of you have probably heard this at some point in your time, but it's from Paul Harvey. He wrote this back in 1965. It's titled, If I Were the Devil. If I were the Prince of Darkness, I would want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate, 4/5 of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I seized the ripest apple of the tree. Thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I would subvert its churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what is bad is good, and what is good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature write exciting, so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher rating, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, I'd have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make symbols of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of ambition. And what do you bet? I could get whole states to promote gambling as a way to get rich. I would caution against extremes of hard work in patriotism and moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned and that swinging is more fun. That what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public and could lure you into bed with diseases for which there are no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I would just keep doing what I'm doing. He wrote those words 58 years ago. How much of this do you see today? I see everything. Everything happening at all levels. We're being told that the Bible is outdated and out of touch with the enlightened moral values of today. Our churches are outright preaching that the sins outlined in the Bible aren't really sins anymore. We see movements to allow government to control every aspect of our lives. We demonize masculinity. Society today says that to be patriotic is to be oppressive. Marriage is not treated as a sacred promise between a man, a woman, and God anymore. Instead of asking, how can I help my family, my church, and my community, we ask what government programs are available. We would rather give our money than our time. All too often, we see that as churches grow, fewer people will volunteer. People who tithe will tithe less. This is simply because, collectively, we start to believe that as more people come in, other people will step up. Other people will give. But God calls all of us to give of our time and our gifts. We are called to give to the church, to give to the community, to give to others. We need to spend time together in fellowship. We need to spend time in the Word so that we can stand up to the evil that is all around us. One point of encouragement to me is as I look through our church, I see strong volunteers. We just came through Vacation Bible School. A lot of people put in a lot of work. It was wonderful to see all the volunteers. But we have to remember not to become complacent. Be willing to let God use us. Be welcoming to new people. We should constantly be looking for ways, for new ways to reach out and grow as a church body. Small groups, summer ministries, parents being more involved with Sunday school, but also adults being more active in the adult Sunday school. We need to remember that we are constantly surrounded by evil. The devil is always trying to find a way into our lives to try and take our focus off of God. Evil is always moving the line that God has drawn. Compromise only happens when we step back and allow evil to move forward. We are told that we cannot hate people who openly sin. Those who say that are absolutely right. We are called as followers of Christ to love all people, but we are also called to minister to them so that they can repent from their sins and come to know God's grace. The Apostle Luke writes, "We are to love our enemies. We are to do good to those who hate you. You are to bless those who curse you. And you are to pray for those who mistreat you." The Apostle Paul writes, "We are to speak truth in love." He goes on to say that we are also to carefully determine what pleases the Lord. We are to take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, we are to oppose them. We are called to obey God's teachings. We need to make a choice each and every day. We need to devote our lives to righteous living. We are blessed to have the opportunity to live under God's grace. But the bottom line is, we are what we choose to obey. Paul writes in Ephesians a blueprint of how we are to live within the light. He says that we are to imitate God in all we do. We are to live a life full of love, following the example of Jesus Christ. We are to abstain from immorality, impurity, and greed. He says to not tell obscene stories or jokes, but let our words be full of thankfulness to God. Do not join those who excuse sin. Find what pleases God and do it. Do not live like fools. Make the most of the opportunities that God gives us. Be thoughtful to others. Don't abuse drugs and alcohol. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sing songs of praise and give thanks to God for everything that He gives us. And Peter writes in his first letter to rid ourselves of evil behavior, to cry out for God and His nourishment. We are to remember that Christ Himself was rejected by this world. We are the living stones of God's spiritual temple. We are called to be the priests. We must remember, even though sin is often legalized, it is still a sin. That love is not proud. Love is kind and love is tender. God's desire is for all of us to join Him in heaven at some point. Perfection is the standard. This is a standard we cannot achieve on our own. Many people have made it to heaven, but if we can't achieve perfection, how do we get to heaven? It's simple. Through grace. God has provided His Son so that if we believe and repent and ask for His grace, He will give it to us, but we must be willing to receive it. So how do we move forward? We are called to spread God's truth to the world. That doesn't mean that we all need to go out and become overseas missionaries tomorrow. Some may be called to do that, but more importantly, we need to start right here at home. How many people in our community actively attend church? Is it 30%? 50%? Is it 80%? It's not a question that I have an answer to, but I would guess that there are many in this community that we could minister to. We are called to be ministers of God's Word. It's not just the pastor's job to reach out to those in the community who don't know God. That's our job. We are the church. Pastor Kent is our spiritual leader. But he can't do it on his own. We need to step up to the plate to share God's truth with everyone we see. We need to make sure that spending time in study of God's Word and sharing it to our friends and neighbors is first in our hearts and minds. We need to protect ourselves with the armor that God provides. We need to love those who persecute us. We need to pray for those who injure us. We need to call sin a sin. We are to preach God's grace and mercy to the world. We will produce what we are. An apple tree can only produce an apple. Thanks, Cody. So just as that is said, we need to make sure that we are producing what God wants us to grow. We are blessed each and every day that we are on this earth. We just need to look for the blessings. We are able to freely gather in this church today and to openly worship God without fear of persecution. We take that for granted. We take it for granted that we are able to have multiple Bibles in our home, that we can have a Bible on our smartphones. We can worship God anywhere at any time. We have a tendency to grumble if Pastor goes over time with his message and we miss kickoff of the big game. There are multitudes of people around the world that would love to have the issues that we have. They travel hours to get to a church. We grumble to travel minutes. They face prison if they're caught with a Bible. We rarely open ours. If we're not careful, we will have the same trouble that they have at some point. So as you leave today, let us remember that through Christ we are now free from the power of sin and that we have become slaves of God. God wants to pour His grace and mercy on us if we repent and ask for it. He wants us to be with Him for eternity. But we need to be willing to receive His gift. We must choose to do things that lead us to holiness and that will lead to eternal life through Christ Jesus in heaven. Amen.